Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for a mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that your wonderful word has so many mysteries in it, Lord, that you're unfolding at this time. And I praise you for that, Lord. It's so awesome to see and to read. You know, I remember the story, and I think I related this last time, Lord, that this group of people only had one page of the Word of God. And for 30 years, they preached out of those one page. That is unbelievable, but I know your Word has layer upon layer upon layer of meaning, Father God, and there is no end to the revelations out of your Word, Father, and I thank you for that, because it's always a constant mystery that's opened up to us as we study the Word of God like an onion being peeled back layer after layer after layer, and it reveals deeper meanings into your world, Lord, and into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And it's an awesome, awesome testimony to your wisdom in this word, and I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. You know, Lord, we've got men out there that not even filled with the Holy Spirit trying to explain the Word of God by the natural senses. And that's why you're going to have this great shaking, Lord, to bring them into the ones that are your elect, bring them into the knowledge of the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for doing that too. We praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight in this body of believers, Lord. Because we're not going to put you in a box, because we know, Lord, that you can do all things. You can do anything. And you can show us anything that you want to out of your word, Lord. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for all that you do. And open up to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. We lift up all those that are supposed to be here tonight. And I thank you, Father, for putting it in our heart to get on and enjoy the fellowship with the true believers, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up those that might be having some problems. And we thank you, Father, for putting the blood of Christ all over them, Lord, to seal them from any attacks of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for all you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray about something? Anybody got any testimonies? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I'd like to pray, Lord willing. We're going to visit my family this weekend. And I haven't seen them since the beginning of January. So that's quite a wow for me. So, Lord, I just, would you know how I feel about this? You know, if things are going to happen and I don't get to go, that's fine with me, because I'd rather have things happen, things that we've been waiting for, big things, important things, you know, that I can't go, you know, but, and I know you'll work out all the details, but, Lord willing, we'll go and we'll have a safe trip there and back, and have good time with the family, Lord. And I just ask for opportunities to just show your love towards my family in the way that you want me to, Lord, and to speak anything that you would have me to speak, Lord. And, So set a watch before my mouth and a door before my lips, and let my words be few, and that open my mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness be upon my tongue. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to get up early enough in the morning that I have some time with you the 2 days that we're going to be there, and get the day off well, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I thank you for my family and blessing them, delivering them and healing them, bringing them into the full knowledge of the truth and the full gospel, and just saving them to the uttermost. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just blessed all five of those people right there. In Jesus' name. Well, two of them just left. Thank you, Lord. Hey, show time, show. Hey, Shoshana. Hey, sweetie. Look at her. You go ahead, Anna.
I've got a little testimony. Look at this, y'all. I can pick her up under both arms. Haven't been able to do that in 2 weeks.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. She completely healed. That's awesome.
Pretty injured, but yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh. She's Shoshana. What are you doing, girl? I see you. Hey, girl. Oh, she's such a sweetie. Most of the time. Oh, my. Say hi, Julie. Say hi, Julie. I think she's a little bit, yeah. Oh, my. Hey, sugar. Glory be to God. Yep, we had a great time while we was over there today. Most everybody gone, except for David and Lena. Okay. Good deal. Yeah, her hair is getting long. Yeah. Gonna have to get, yeah, I see. And it's thick too. We're praying thick hair for her. Good and thick hair. Yeah, glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Anybody else got a testimony? Yay! Glory to God. We got a little time delay problem here, but that's all. That's okay. I'm used to it now. No, okay. All right. No, we ain't got no time delay problem. I'm right on time. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about or comment on tonight? I'll say this. It looks like the great reset is happening. The quantum financial system looks like it's being put in place even as we speak. Brazil's going. Some more countries I can't think of right offhand are going, and that means it's happening. Things are going. Won't be long. Won't be long for the man-child anointing either. That's right here upon us. Praise God. Boy, it's a beautiful day here. I don't know about where y'all are, but it was a beautiful day here. And we got water and hot water too. Praise God. It's always nice to have hot water and water too. I've been taking cold showers for couple of weeks now. That was interesting. It takes about a minute and a half to take a cold shower. It takes about a half an hour for a hot shower, you know. Oh, me. All right. Has anybody got any? Thank you, Lord. I just praise you, Father, for good. And we thought the first initial reaction was that the hot water heater was not going to be good, and we was going to have to get another one. But we just prayed and said, nope, that's not going to happen. And got under there, and all he had to do was push the reset on the hot water heater and everything. Well, we had a great big leak on it. And he puts the reset on it. We had hot water. Who is that? Is that Hattie? Hey, Hattie. Hey, girl. Dasa. Hey, sugar. Hey, sugar. Look at that pretty little dress she's got on. Boy, she's crawling around everywhere. I'm telling you the truth. All these babies fixing to come up. My gracious sakes alive. We are so blessed here. I'm going to have a tractor trailer full of kids to pull around here shortly. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to pray about, talk about, or ask a question about? Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I'll be quick. Our electricity was off for a few days, so that's the main thing. But my thing is, what I wanted to say is our Lord used that after a couple of days of that powers off. Electricity is off, so there's no power at night, and my battery, my thing that works on battery is always also gone. So in other words, there's no power left. Just awesome how the Lord used that time to do you different things. Usually at night, I'm reading and studying and things, but now you got nothing. So you got most time is to, you got little light and you have to pray and things. So how the Lord used the time you have over electricity, you have it not. What to do, to how we change that. That's just awesome how the Lord chose me. And it teaches me a lot about imagination as well. So just going to say thank you, Lord, and thank you for the time. It was an indifferent time, but it was an awesome time. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right, y'all want to hear a good praise song? All right, let's see if I can get going here. Okay.
I'm no longer.
Amen. I like that song, man. I like that song. That's a good one. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for making us victorious in your name, Lord of God. Thank you, Father, because we have no fear because God is with us. And we've got a bunch of angels with us, too. Praise God. He can send out a host of angels around about us in a half a second. Go ahead, Missy.
I was just looking at these verses today because there's something he said that about perfect love. And it's 1 John 4:18. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Anyway, I was in those verses today, so it was, you know, I was just really feeling like, you know, just being attacked here lately with condemnation and rejection and anxiety and all that, and I was just really meditating on verses and stuff and all about that. So this song was awesome. This song was awesome. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, it is. That is a good song. Well, in that same chapter is one of the verses that I was going to go to tonight to ask your opinion of, because I heard a preacher talking about this particular one. And it's in verse 2 of 1 John 4, and it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already. And I heard him say that you have to test the spirits by using this particular verse. Now, David's taught on this. He's taught on this particular verse here. In fact, he taught on it in Real Good News. Is that the correct connotation of this particular verse? Is that when we come across a spirit that we have to ask it, said, do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Or is there some other connotation to this, as I'm alluding to? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I was just looking up the word here, come, because I think that's the thing here.
That's it.
Coming. It should be coming. It should be present tense, shouldn't it? I'm looking up here. Because I was...
Yes, come is the correct English for it. Let me look it up in the NENT.
That's what I was looking at. It does say is come.
Yeah, it is come.
There's another place where it's... There's another place, though, that says something similar, but I think
listen to what it says. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, wherever you've heard. So, what's he talking about here? Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, there's a very similar verse on the next page in 5 and 20, I think. I'll just give you that one.
What is it?
Almost the very last verse. 5 and 20?
Okay.
Almost the second last verse in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know the true one. And we are in the true one and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, what does that mean?
He's really talking about the inner man inside a person. You can tell that the life is present there. You can be a new Christian and you'll tell. You can be a Christian for 30 years and you can tell. It's a new life. It's a change in the person's life. When you first get saved, you know, you change, you know, everything changes. You need a Bible for sure. And you soon find one of them and you've got to go get one. And your life changes. It kind of, you're more aware of the Lord because of the indwelling of the presence of his spirit. And you go, and you want to learn a lot. Unfortunately, for some of us who came from a really weird background, you know, they don't really teach you much. And then sometimes they can mess up some new Christian and they'll tell you things like, you're a sinner again or something. They'll say, you're a sinner and then the Lord has to bring you back. You have to have pity and mercy upon some people to correct them and to bring them out of the things that they were taught that they need correction for. Just like we got here, you know, and, cause I still remember the first time I came to UVM, he was speaking on the spiritual temple of God. And I was amazed at what he taught me. The one lesson, the very first lesson. He was doing that way back. It is a confession that comes out of the person's mouth, I would have to say spiritually. You know, you can tell that the presence of the Lord is there just by the way the person's speaking and moving in there. And it's really easy to tell when you're called and you're saved, that you're a different person now. And it's like when you're around other people, you suddenly realize this is not whether it's at work, this is not a born again person. This is not a saved person. And you get really fine tuned by the Lord. I do say the confession does come out of the mouth. And He relates these things. Things manifest through him. So that's what I think. I remember the story. I believe he was in a... David Eales was in a... one of those places where a missionary, a street mission was. And there was a guy possessed there because, well, he was, he thought he was a woman anyway. And, they tried to use that, confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Watch. And this guy was demon possessed. He confessed Jesus Christ came in the flesh because he did come in a human body. But, they misused the scripture. They took it out of context. They heard what they wanted to hear, but he still needed deliverance. He did end up getting delivered, but apparently I think the Lord left some stuff in him to show him that he has authority to be delivered, but deliver himself to. And he completely, I think he was, maybe, I can't remember whether he was an alcoholic, but he got sobered up really.
Yeah.
He tried to attack. He had an aggressive move on him as if he was a bear of some sort. So he tried to attack him. I can't remember all the exact words.
But. Wasn't that the one where the guy went in there that wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit? And David told him, said, no, you don't need to go in there. And he went in there anyway, ended up going through the glass door there and out on the streets and demons all
over. Yeah, he went through the place. Yeah. And there was a brand new Christian on the other side, and yes. He said he prayed.
A brand new Christian. Commanded a brand new demon to come out of.
The demons off. That was it.
Yeah, so.
I like the other one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I like the one when he was in the, there was this guy in a mental institution, and two mentally handicapped people came, they turned sane, and they said, you want to look at these Bible verses. And then he went and, I forget the rest of the story, but he got.
Well, another crazy guy came up to him and said, you need this, and it was a Bible. Gave him a Bible.
Yeah.
And then the other one came up to him, you need to read these verses here. Bam, 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 bam. He gave them to him, and so they went back and to thank the guys, both of them, as a woman and a man. And they said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never had no Bible. And the other one said, well, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, God can use anybody, Katie. He can use a crazy person to preach to you. Yeah, that's a good one, Andrew. Yeah, Ben.
So that goes with the same verse.
Go ahead, Andrew.
That would go with the same verse because I believe that guy was a saved Christian, but he was under these really powerful drugs, and he had to come off of that. He couldn't come off of that cold turkey or something. So he was being restored by the Lord there. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
So, the verse that you brought up in chapter 4, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus. So we need, where does it say prove? Prove the Spirit. We need to know what spirit is guiding it. So there's obviously the seven spirits that are in your candelier. That's kind of what I'm thinking about. But another good chapter that kind of I was first shown was Matthew chapter 7. By their fruits ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So I remember I asked a question not too long ago, like, how am I going to tell the difference between these malls, these false man-childs and the true man-child? Am I going to just know them by their fruits? And then, Michael, you just said, well, Ben, you just hit the, you hit the head and the nail right there. This, Matthew chapter 7 is good because, you know, we're part of the vine. We're the vine that produces the fruit of Christ. And, you know, it says it right here, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down, or
a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruits. So this is part of our spiritual discernment, is what I'm trying to get to. We discern the spirit that they have, and when I've been studying the different fruits, the different, you could say, characteristics of Christ, all of the Antichrist characteristics lead to selfishness. And the ones that lead to Christ are selfless, which is grounded in love, of course. And I remember there's a verse. I was talking about it with my dad not too long ago. I think it's in one of the Peters, and it's, they will use you as merchandise. I can't quote it from anywhere else. I'm sure someone out there knows exactly where it is. But these people are using you as merchandise for themselves. So they'll see themselves, they'll see a way to gain more for themselves than you. And that's how you can discern it, pretty much. Is what's the guiding thing that they're trying to do? Are they trying to bolster themselves or glorify God or to encourage or edify you? I don't know. That's just what I'm kind of thinking about. You got to prove the spirit. If the spirit, when you do test it or you're trying to discern it, is like, I think he's doing this for himself, that's when you kind of have to put the brakes on and start to really understand. And obviously, when we use, well, when the Lord shows it to us this way, we really need to make a decision. Like, do we really need to follow this guy, or should we, you know, get out of here? Because it's a, not a scary, well, yeah, it's a scary thing. You don't want to fall into a factious leadership, because that's, we all understand what that how that happens. Because from what Michael and David say, they're all selfish. They all just kind of have their own religious ideology, and it gets worse and worse and worse the further they get into it. And people are just blind to it, which is totally insane to me, because I'm like, how? Well, anyways, I don't need to, I don't mean to bring up old news, but it's spiritual discernment. That's the important thing. Anyways, praise God.
Well, you hit the nail on the head when you said it's this fruit in us. It's the fruit in the person speaking. That's what he's talking about. It's what the thing said. It doesn't say has come in the flesh. It's talking about is come in the flesh one time. It's talking about the spirit that brings Jesus in your flesh. Here's why David talks, says it in real good news. He says, and if a man's spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is presently in that flesh, then that's the spirit of God. Doesn't say he has come in the flesh. It's not talking about Jesus once coming in the flesh. It's talking about the spirit that brings Jesus in your flesh. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. You're born again spirit and the spirit of God combined together in the believer, according to Romans 8 and 9. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, shall give life also to your mortal body. That's the Holy Spirit. So that's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. That's a born-again spirit of man. And that's the fruit we're looking for. And to get that is discernment, knowing the Word of God and asking God for the wisdom and the discernment to understand. Is this a man of God, or does his fruit look like Jesus? That's what it's talking about. If his spirit looks like Jesus, then he is, a good spirit, discerning a good spirit. It's how you tell if somebody's telling the truth or not in the Word of God. You look up what they say, and if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, then don't listen to them in any aspect. Go ahead, Ben.
In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it tells us to look in the mirror to see the glory of the Lord. And so that's sort of a personal discernment. Now it's, do you see the glory of the Lord in your fellow brother? Now there's the different levels of maturity, and I'm sure there's no judgment when there's someone doing things that they shouldn't, or they're just not as anointed. But when there's the blatant ignoring, it's not ignorance, it's ignoring. And, we can probably just bring it up with them and then, talk about it. And then if they still ignore it, you can take it up with an elder. But we want to seek the glory in our brethren because we're all working for the same team here. Mm-hmm. When I used to play rugby, it was, you're only as fast as your slowest player. So if you have a slow player on your team, it's going to bring down the whole team because they got to pick up your mess. And so we want everyone to be not at the same level, but we want us all to be walking and striving towards the same goal, which is Christ. And so if some people start to fall, we don't want anything to be held back in them. I'm not saying this right. I'm probably just talking out of something that I shouldn't be. So I'll just probably keep it at that and I'll stop.
Well, you're doing good. Listen to this. You brought up a good point. What does this mean here in Mark 11, 23 and 24? Now think about what I'm saying here. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says comes to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive. What's he talking about here? Confess it out of your mouth. I am a child of God. I have the mind of Christ. I have divine health because I walk and I talk and I act like Jesus. That's part of it as well. And when you're doing, you're confessing the word in your life, you're bringing that about in you. Remember, we talked about quantum faith here some time ago. Same thing. It's confessing the word is so powerful in our lives. And we sometimes forget about it. But I can tell you this. Well, look at Luke 17:6. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, it's all confession. It's confessing who you are in Christ. Are you a new creation? Absolutely you are. Well, what does that entail? Everything that Jesus is, once you understand it. You're everything that Jesus is. And he walked in the Spirit. Listen. Well, I'm not going to go into that right now, but anyway, anybody else on this? You understand what we're talking about here. It's not talking about discerning of the spiritual entities. It's talking about the spiritual aspects of a person's life walking in Christ or supposed to be walking in Christ. Do you discern that they are absolutely, I'll get it out in a minute. Absolutely true born-again Christians speaking the word of God. And they're bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. And they're talking about the word of God itself in a way that lines up with the word of God. How many of you know that you cannot spiritually discern the Word of God if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You can only do and discern the natural aspects of the Word of God, not the spiritual deep revelations of the Word of God, unless you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and are exercising those spiritual gifts that He's given us. Anybody else? You know, when we, here's something that I heard the other day, and I have to say, I wish I'd have come up with it, but I didn't. It was somebody else. Well, y'all forgive me because I need to think on this just for a minute. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? When you look at Jesus' life, what do you see? Do you see a miracle walking man that is full of God and also walks in spiritual heavenly, how do I say this? Ways, for lack of a way to say it. What did Jesus do? We ask that all the time. You know, the little headbands and all that. I mean, hand things. But what did Jesus do? What did He do? We always want to look at the very great things that He did. Well, He healed all. He did this. He did that. What did He do most of the time? He was out there praying, talking to His Father, getting instructions from His Father. That's what He was doing. Most of the time, that's where He was. He was on His face, listening to the Father, talking to the Father. Lord, what do You want me to do now? And getting His instructions. Man, I like to hear the time, you know, that He walked through a crowd, nobody touched Him. I like the time when they're going to throw Him over the cliff, and He just walked back like it wasn't nothing there. The time He walked through walls. All of those are great things, but what did He do most of the time? He prayed. He was talking to His Father. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
He came here to really demonstrate. Oops. Catch it?
Yeah.
He came here to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven and who His Father is and what He. Everything He did was to glorify His Father. So it was a servant and teaching His disciples, teaching us, teaching anyone who would listen to Him, you know, about the kingdom. Our eternal home and spiritual things. But He also, you know, something I was reading here recently, and I think it was in the Good News, the Real Good News, was, I just lost my train of thought. I guess I wasn't supposed to say it. I can't remember now. I guess that's enough. That's what He came to do.
Okay.
The parables. That's what it was. Thank you, God. the parables. Everything he taught in the parables, he taught, I mean, a natural physical thing to demonstrate the spiritual thing. So he was always pointing towards a spiritual aspect. It wasn't just a carnal thing. But that, you know, was only to those who had the ears to hear and eyes to see, you know, because some people just like, this is too hard, I don't get it, bye, you know. Then it continued with him. So, yeah, that's kind of what I see. And, you know, what I was just reading is just really demonstrating the kingdom of God and who our Father is and what eternity is supposed to be and who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I think what's important, why you have to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16:14, he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. If the Spirit is not there, who's going to do that to you? You only have a Spirit without the guiding of Holy Spirit to teach you or declare, oh, well, he shall take up Jesus and he shall declare it unto you. Who else is going to declare it unto you except the Holy Spirit to see you? What I was thinking.
Amen. Amen. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it to you. Glory to God. That's right. All right, anybody else? This is what we're talking about here, is what we should be looking for in people as far as the fruit of Jesus in their life. And if all all they want to do is moralize, and like most of these people do, then you shouldn't have anything to do with them. They're not teaching you anything that you need to know. All right, anybody else on this particular verse? Is there another little verse we need to look at that people try to take out of context? There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. How many of you have heard, and out of the pulpit come that, well, you've gotten everything that you're going to get when you got salvation. The Holy Spirit and all of that is in one little neat package. I've heard that. That's because they want to, I'm trying to say it in a nice way. They want to make it easy for people to come into the church and believe that they're saved in a way that doesn't call for holiness of their walk. And they don't preach holiness, because you're once saved, always saved. But Jesus taught a whole lot different. Paul taught a whole lot. All of them taught a whole lot different gospel than what you're hearing coming out of most of the pulpits. And that's what I'm trying to do, is to get everybody to understand the Word of God is true, not what comes out of somebody's mouth. Even though they might be Dr. Ho or so, you know. A doctor of what? I dare say. Just saying. Go ahead, Missy.
I've heard you're never going to overcome the flesh. You're a sinner saved by grace. And, but then they'll turn around and say, you know, we're supposed to be transformed, you know, that, you know, into the same image from glory to glory. And it's like, now wait a minute, that's you're contradicting. They don't realize they're contradicting themselves. If you aren't ever going to overcome the flesh, you're never going to come into the image of Jesus. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have, it's like saying, you know, like David said, you know, just, you know, step over the line, you know, shake the preacher's hand, get your ticket punched, sit in the pew until you're raptured. I mean, that's crazy. That's basically what they're saying. That overcome.
So what's the truth?
And I've also, what the word says, you have to overcome the flesh.
That's what I want to focus on. We already know all of that. You know what, all of that old church life that we used to all be in, or most of us used to be in, I was in it. I went through it pretty quick, though. You know, I think most of y'all did, too, probably. Went through it fairly quick. Because we found a better way, and the better way is to do it like the Word says. And when we found UBM, when I found UBM, I said, get back, Loretta, glory to God. This guy knows a little bit more than these preachers I've seen, you know. And that's when you started studying the Word of God for what it truly is. It's a revelation from the Lord about how we're supposed to walk. And we're to walk like Jesus did. And in most of the things that you see he was doing, he was praying and being led by the Father. And that's what he wants us to be. And how do you do that? Let's go this direction. How do we be led by the Father? How are we to be led by the Holy Spirit? I'll put it that way. What's the first thing to do in order to be led by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, Missy.
Renew your mind with the Word. You know, just having your mind renewed with the Word. The Word. Get into the Word. Put the Word in your heart. Put it in your mind.
Yeah.
And because the Word is the Spirit. You know, and you can't be led by the Spirit if you don't know the Word. Because the Word is Jesus. And it's also the Spirit. And we could go in circles about this, but it's all true. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. But you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be discerning of the spirits, don't you? And to be led by the Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, did I steal your thunder? Spirit, yeah. I'm sorry. Well, that's what I was looking for, and you're right. Once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, which should be one of the first things you do after you get saved, is I want to be baptized, or at the same time. Amen. And so once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we do exactly like Missy said. We get in the Word and we start allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us as to what this, Lord, what does this mean? I don't understand this. Can you, you know, and just meditate on it until you go read something else and you go in and he'll come back and you'll come back to it and he'll give it to you. Yeah, and believe what you, and also not only believe what you read, do what you read. That's integral in the walk of Christ is to do. James tell us you got to do the Word too. A lot of people know the Word, but they ain't doing it. Doing the Word is imperative to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and bear the fruit of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I just add in Revelation 3:21, he says, Jesus said, he would overcome him. I know, that's not so wrong, but I'm not talking about, it's 20. He says, if any man, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice, in other words, you have to hear his voice before you open the door. In other words, you know who's speaking on the other side. And if you open the door, it's probably because you know the person who spoke, you're talking to. In other words, you have a relationship. Then he says, then Jesus said, I will come into you and sup with you and you eat with me. In other words, then it's somebody who have a relationship with. In other words, you have to know Jesus, through the Holy Spirit to come and sit with him. So just want to just add that.
Amen. Amen. What else is involved in this walking like Jesus? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. The main thing is, like Mr. talked about a while ago, staying in the Word. Go ahead, Ben. Did I talk before?
Well, no. I'm always reminded of the verses in Philippians when it's, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus, what's the walking of Jesus? If you have Esword, and you go to chapter 2, it's the very first sort of from verse 1 to 11. And the title of that little collection of verses is Christ's Example of Humility. If therefore any exhortation is in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, having the same love, being of one soul, one mind, doing nothing through faction, through vain glory, have this mind, in verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in God's form, counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, being made in likeness of men. And I find that the best example that Jesus did at this level of humility was obviously the cross, but it was also the washing of his disciples' feet. Because I really looked into that one day, and he washed Judas's feet, and he knew Judas was going to betray him. But he did it out of the humility and love towards his father and towards his disciples. He had a level of love towards Judas. Now, rebuke me if I said something wrong there. But, you know, you should really think about it. Like, that's humbling and humiliating. Now, when you're watching Pilgrim's Progress, there's that valley of humiliation. And I think it's talking about something a little bit different, and I might need to stop talking before I say something I shouldn't. But, you know, I'll keep it at that.
No, you're doing good. You know, Ben, I'm amazed at the progress of your walk with Christ. You're becoming a mature Christian very fast, and that's awesome to see. I just wanted to give you a little encouragement.
Galatians 2:20, no longer I that live.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Is that 208? Is that Terry? Yeah. All right. Anyone else on this walk with Christ? So we've learned. What have we learned tonight? You know, it might not be a learning for us, but for some of us, it might be. So if the biggest thing we need to do is to stay in the Word, to learn how Jesus walked and to get the Word in us, and then like Andy was talking about, 3 Corinthians 3 and 18, where we see ourselves in the mirror as Jesus, then that's bearing the fruit of Jesus. Judy, go ahead. I think I saw your hand up just a minute ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say something that Dave has been teaching on here lately is sanctification and stuff. Is,
yeah.
You know, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and, you know, you're supposed to cast off the works of darkness, which is, you know, the old life. You know, so, and that's why we need the Word in us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in us, because we can't do it of ourselves. It's, you know, it's His power in us that does it. So.
Amen.
That sanctification is holiness, right?
Yeah. That book, by the way, is one of my favorites. Is
that, I guess, sanctification? That came to mind. I'm sorry, Michael. What was coming to mind when you're saying that people say you can't be perfect or you can't be holy is that sanctification is holiness. And one of the scriptures in the Word says that that is the will of God, your sanctification, right? That is the will of God. So how can you go get around that? God commands it. Anyhow, that's all I was, thoughts were coming to my mind.
That's exactly it. They don't. That's what we should be looking at, is holiness. Yeah, Missy?
Well, the Lord said, be holy for I am holy. And also, mm-hmm. you know, in Matthew 5:48, I believe it is, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, and before that, it was telling you about, you know, your conduct and everything. So it's like, it's here. Not when you go to heaven. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I know. I heard a preacher one Lord time. I'm sorry. I heard a preacher one time say that, yeah, when you leave this earth during the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, you'll get your holiness on the way up. God will just holify you, I guess, is what they're talking about. Holify you on the way up. You'll lose all your old flesh life and you'll just be holy when you hit heaven. Because God's going to change you all at one time. I said, well, boy, that'd be cool if that's the way it's going to be. I can sin all I want to until I get ready to go, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Ben. I mean, Andrew, excuse me.
Yeah, it stands to reason that they do say some things like that, and that's a sad thing because it's against scripture, because it says, he that calleth you is holy. Be therefore holy in all your behavior, and that's down here. And, you know, it does say that in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word, and this washing is the sanctification by his word also. And what a better way of being sanctified than study some of those things about the overseers and deacons and elders in Titus and in Timothy. But there's another place that the Lord said to me, well, Andrew, why don't you go study the first six verses of chapter 14? Maybe there's something there of revelation, you know, because that's going to be the next big leading elder. And if you go there and you look at the sanctification of a future calling, then we're going to have to know what this means. At least 14 and 4, these are who were not defiled with women. Now, we know about the woman in chapter 12. So they're not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are who follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men, first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And, you know, we might as well throw 5 in. And in their mouths was found no lie. They are without blemish. So there's terms here. What does this defiled with women? And we know that by chapter 12, that the bride and the man child is going to try and help the woman in the first 3.5 years. So we should not be defiled from with this woman, because we're actually going to some extent help the woman also during the first 3.5 years. Because we're virgins, well, he's not talking about a physical virgin there, because what would all the parents do, first of all, if you have children? The virgin here is he's renewing you to a new status, I would say. And then there's other words that I don't think they would be looking at, because if they have a pre-tribulation rapture, then they're not even going to look at 14. They're not even going to read 13. Yeah, and they're not even going to read 12. You know, they're not going to read anything past any time of the tribulation starts. And that's, they may even say, this can't be the mark of the beast because we're still here, and they'll take it. And that's pretty sad. So, what is this new song they're going to be singing? You know, what is the Lamb standing on Mount Zion? What is this Zion? I don't think they'll understand what Zion is, even though there's in later chapters, I think it's around 20, where it describes the New Jerusalem. And then having his name and the name of his father writ on their foreheads. You know, I've heard some people say, well, you see, the mark of God trumps the mark of the beast. And so we can take the former mark, and, you know, they confuse a person's mind. You know, I believe he says that the mark in the forehead represents this name, but also God is glorifying this person. He's allowing the wave of glory work through his son to work through his people and through this 144,000. So if we can deduce some of the things right now on what he's supposed to be like and what we have been taught, then, cause you know, someone said once to me, the preacher or the shepherd of the flock is supposed to work himself out of a job. So that's the way I looked at this overseer, deacon, and this 144,000. If I can work 144,000 out of a job, and then that would be really great to have that. And with all the stuff we've learned and what we're yet to learn, what we're to be delivered of in this time, then the high point is yes, you get called, and he's also going to make your calling and election sure, because he does everything. He leads you, he guides you, he helps you, he delivers you, he provides for you, and he heals you, he fills you with blessings, which never sort of have any effect with the flesh man, the old man. It always, the blessings or the joy of the Lord will be for the new man, because that's the second fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, and that's all the blessings and rejoicings that you have in them, wherever it says blessing. And I personally like the very last one in the Bible. And the last one in the Bible is in 22:14, because, you know, it gives you entrance by the gates into the city. And it gives you authority over the tree of life. And blessed they that have washed their robes. Now, we know that everything comes by grace, and we have to ask the Father for all these things. So there's a lot of asking so you can receive, and seeking so you can find, and knocking so that it'll be opened unto you. And you know, he did say, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So, you know, you want whatever he has for you. And I sometimes wonder, shouldn't we be asking for more? You know, shouldn't we be ready to receive more? He's given you everything you could possibly have. You know, like it says in Philippians chapter 2, to have that mind in you, to be on a equality, you know. So there's just so much that is available for you, and we have to stand on that promise. We have to examine the promises and just continue in them always. But we still need the Lord to do it all, you know. We can't do this by ourselves, and we don't commend ourselves. So the Spirit has to flow through us like a manifestation. Jesus manifested his Father, so we need to manifest our Father too. Everyone wants to be like their Father. And plus, he says to us that he will perform. Like, it's so exciting to read Isaiah 6. You know, I know he reviewed it not just too long ago. Yeah, Isaiah 62, he's going to do all that stuff there. You know, through us. It's like, wow, you know, what he's going to do. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, am I stuck here somewhere, Lord? Am I, what's next? What am I supposed to do? You know? Well, on a lighter note, you know, I went to a family gathering today, and I struggled last night with anxiety, and I was going, what's all this about? Because I told my older brother, he's never, ever refused to drive me somewhere. And he did come and pick me up today, and I was going to wear, his wife told me to wear a mask. And I put the mask on, I put a hat on too and everything. And while we were going out there, you know, I prayed against the anxiety, and it went away before I fell asleep. And that was good. And, you know, it's out of his character for him not to drive you. You know, he would be here early, you know. And, you know, things have a way of playing on your mind when it comes to these things. But, you know, they're where they're at. They need to know the Lord. And, you know, on the way in, she said, oh, Andrew, you can take your mask off. So, and on the way home, I didn't even wear it. She said, you don't have to wear it. So, and then I didn't wear it, but, you know, I was asking for favor of the Lord to class and about this stuff, and it came to pass. It's not a huge thing, but if he knows about just these little things, you know, I've heard people, find my keys for me, Lord. Even my son, before he was saved, at a bus stop, find the bus ticket that Ben dropped. And someone said, are you looking for this? and then he found it for me. This person brought Ben's bus ticket back, and we got home. Because I would have had to go back into the mall and find the place that sells the bus tickets and pick up a bus ticket. So, yeah. And it's these little things, you know, and you think about work, you know, you go, sometimes these little boring things and go wrong at work, and something that's supposed to like take 2-3 minutes suddenly becomes a 20-minute job. But you know, it doesn't work that way with the Lord. This little thing you know, and it's kind of silly for me to be worried about that, you know, to get all these things going through your mind and, you know, no, quoting verses all night, getting rid of this thing out of me and saying, no, that's not the way it works. I'm not having a conversation. Shut up. Don't talk to me. And anxiety leave. And you know, you can feel it inside of you too. And you're going, this is not right. I'm a child of God. Dissipate. Get out of here. And then it sort of shrinks down and then it's trying to stay in there just in a little bit. And you go, oh no, it's not pulling me. Get out. And then it leaves. And then you go, oh, finally I can go to sleep, you know. But I did have in the background Sovereign God chapter 1 on my computer. So. It helped me too because it was showing me God's sovereign. You can't be here. And it's right at that point because chapter 1 talks about you gotta look around this devil to see what's on the other side there. It's God. He's sovereign over everything. And that's when it sort of left me because he teaches there in Sovereign God chapter 1 to when something's coming against you and you say, oh, that's the devil. No, you got to look around this devil because you're being tested here, you know. Well, what if I'm being tested? I don't want this anxiety. You know, and you think of the anxiety verses in the Sermon on the Mount and you think of the other ones from, you know, be anxious for nothing, you know, if he knows how to feed the birds, you know, and how to clothe, the valleys with better clothing than even King Solomon had, you know, so don't be worried about this little thing. And it just faded out and went away. So I didn't know if I was going to say that testimony because I wanted more, you know, you expect more. You're with family, you know, and you're hoping that things are going to happen. Immediately when I went in there, I was put in my place because I said, well, Jim, you didn't cut the grass. And he said, see, as soon as he came here, he was going to say something negative. And I was put in my place and I went, you know, humdrum again. And then I went, no, I'm not going to be humdrum here. I'm going to be friendly. The first time in years since before COVID that we've come together. And I just thank God for that we could come together and, we didn't talk about God, but I didn't expect it. So I just expected whatever would come up, whatever the Lord would do. And being watchful that you don't get infected with anything. So praise God. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just trying to study what the big wigs have written in here for the future for us and some of the applications of what's going to happen in the future, things we expect to see. And we already see some of it now. There's the blaspheming of God and his name and the tabernacle. So we know that's in 13 and we can see some of the two horns like a lamb already speaking like a dragon for something. It's there, you know, we're not going to pretend it's not there. It's not something that comes overnight. You know, you can examine, even the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. They have, four denominations. Well, we've got times 10,000 plus, you know, 40,000 of them now. And there's this division. They're not speaking the same. They don't have the same mind, and they don't have the same judgment. So that's been a problem with the Lord and his church for a very long time. And of course, the first chapter again of Galatians, you know, they have a different gospel. There's not a different gospel, but they all have a different narrative because they're all divided by words over all these different denominations. And then, you know, you get Jude, something did creep unawares because if there's that many divisions, then there's 40,000 creepy crawlies, you know. And at least, you know, as many as there are denominations. You even have the same denomination where, you know, they don't really behave like Christians, because I wouldn't be speaking English right now if they did. Neither would my parents have come over here, because there wouldn't have been a World War II. And there wouldn't have been all that stuff that happened. So, and we wouldn't have a United Nations either. And so these things that lead up to this, you know, to have a world government, to have an iron enclave, that's a short work of 7 years that's coming. You know, the nations are mixing. The clay and iron is mixing. Coming into Europe, you're going over there. It's all this free trade around the world. You know, I'm sure you got an office over there in Saudi Arabia. You got an office over there at this bank, representations there. I know that the Italians over there with their Lamborghini Countach factory, because that's where they're all at. And of course, the iron's mixing with the clay, you know, and they buy the houses over there on that island. They shaped like a big palm tree. All the billionaires want to live there because it's nice there. And they mixed with the clay, and the clay has mixed with the iron. They're coming into Europe from all over the place, and they're coming into America. So that's just, you know, they're mixing the iron and clay together, and now they're seeing a prophecy coming true that they won't cleave one to another. And that's something, you know, that's their principle. You know, we don't have that. We got feet sod with the sandals of peace. So, you know, and we've got this peace from the Lord, because the two are made one, thus making peace. And, you know, it's in 5:1 peace of Romans also. And so, you know, we can see things happening. And we have to get ready. We have to be sober-minded. We have to know what's going on. So you need encouragement. And the Lord's encouraging us. I know he's encouraging me, you know, with 62. Isaiah 62 is a good encouragement. You know, you need to find the encouraging verses that God's going to do this to us, through us, and over us. Because he's one God and Father who's over all, you know, and through all. So he's going to come through out of you, because he's given you the life. Why would he call you? To leave you hanging? You know, you don't make a son or a baby just to leave him there. You know, you're going to call on your Father, Abba Father, you know. I will not leave you orphan. He says it right there. I'm a father. And, yeah. So he's going to fill you with his spirit. He's going to ask, even refill me again, Lord, with more of your spirit. And, you know, fill me with your word, Lord, so that I can be filled with your spirit, so I can be sanctified, which is holiness. And the first Holy Spirit fruit is love. So fill me with your love. I got to walk in your love. I got to imitate my Father. If you do that, you'll walk in love, because it says so in his word. And you got to walk in the light. You got to walk in truth. You got to walk in Jesus. You got to walk in the Spirit. You know, who cleans your feet? Because it's been said. He's going to wash your feet so you can walk. You know, if he's going to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word, if he's going to wash your feet, then what does that mean? He's going to wash your walk, you know, and you're going to be God-led. You have to be. There's no other one you want leading you. There is the new life of Christ in you, and you have to mature in this life. And, you've been held back from your past. And he has to cleanse all that out. And he has to prepare you just in case something comes in front of you. You have to recognize what spirit's coming out of this person's mouth. And what person is, what conversation or what word that's supposed to come out of your mouth. That's why I think it says confession. You know, there's a wonderful Psalm 119 that David goes through, and it's very soothing when you listen to him take those five videos about Psalm 119. You just reviews the whole thing with you, and it's all about the word and how the word affects you and how the word works through you and how you're supposed to allow it to work through you, how you're supposed to cooperate. Can two walk together lest they agree? You know, so there's forever a word. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So there's no other word to live by. And you need the word to function. You need it to manifest and glorify the Father. And that saying, you know, I have to go a long way. You know, I need a long way to go. You know, I'm kind of hoping that he's just going to talk to me. You know, he's just going to speak to me and put things in my head that I'm supposed to say, that I'm supposed to do even. The doing part is very important. You know, you have to let him teach you. You have to let him show you even the smallest letter that's going on there. I don't know. The smallest letter is 3 John or 2 John. Anyway, depends on what language you know. Some of the words might be longer or different, right? Anyway, so one of those, and every letter, every book teaches you something. Even Philemon, you know, so, you know, and you know, sometimes, you know, you need to be in a place where you're actually, when you read about the Apostle Paul, it's almost like you're reading his journal, you know, and you see what he's going through. You know, he's being under arrest for over 2 years, and he's got to go see Caesar. You know, there was a lady there who had a journal, you know, and she was educated, and she had a friend that wasn't. And I go, one couldn't read, the other one was very well read. And he wrote a journal, and we know what happened. You know, you can get the bullet point notes, but, you know, we know what happened to Polycarp. We know what happened to some of these early saints, you know, and it's very, you know, what happened to Stephen, the one who was martyred. You know what happened to all the apostles. You know what happened to John. He escaped his martyrdom. You know, and these items, you know, sometimes you want to get to a personal level to see what's going on. And again, you know, you can read some of these passages on what happened to these people. You know, I have this martyr's book, and they'll go with the martyrs of some of the apostles. I'm not familiar with it. A lot of them, but you know, you actually get to see an eyewitness account of this, but you have to be careful how you read that too, because you might get angry with some of the nationalities, especially the more recent ones, of where, because they tell you what country it happened in, you know? And you don't want to be judgmental for the lost. You can't do that. We can ask for things to be exposed, but and we ask in accordance to what it says, that God loves justice. He likes order and decency. And he hates robbery. So, you know, there are things that the church has to overcome, and only Father can do it. Well, there's a lot of things he does. He even tries to show the lost. All creation is subjected to vanity. And because it is, by God, for hope. And then he tries to have that person escape from the corruption of the world so that he could be a child of God. And that's in Romans 8. So, you know, if this item that is wrong doesn't affect him, you know, then does he have the fear of the Lord at all? You know, Is there a contrite heart there? Is there a person that has a potential to come to the Lord? And these spirits that are around, especially slander, you know, that the slander spirit is really bad. I remember when there wasn't this much slander in the houses of government, and it seems to be a contagion. Now be careful. You know, some person would say, well, look what happened to the Roman Empire. You know, it owned all of North Africa, and it was Christian nations. They would tell you all of Turkey was Christian. That's where the seven cities are. What happened? And you know, Egypt was Christian. It was part of the Roman Empire. So it was Tunisia, Libya, Mauritania, which would be Algeria and Morocco too, was the Roman Empire. And they lost all of that. And it looks like when you go through the history, you know, you got the Moors coming up through Spain and the Ottomans going into Vienna, Austria. And then, you know, they already had the iron on them. And now you've got the onslaught of more wars to make them even more dreadful for the future. And that's what happened. And, you know, where did all the called people go? What happened, you know, there? Really? You know, freedom was given for the called ones in the third century to be free to worship. But of course they wanted to rule too, the Roman Empire. But, what really did happen? Cause there's, you can only identify with any words of the time, you know, and what was happening just prior and what happened after. So, and of course we always have to consider that God was sovereign over to let these things happen. Why did this happen to them? Why did this happen to all those churches that we know? Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Where are the cities now? You know, they're gone. And you would think Philadelphia would be up till now. So, you know, there's, you know, where's Antioch? You know, it was a big base. You know, there was Christians in Damascus. You know, even the Romans had Christian in it before Paul went to visit. So they needed an apostle to come there. So why is it seemingly so dark? Even when you read the first chapter of the book of Romans, the effects of division, you know, the effects of different gospel coming through a complete polar opposite. So what do we do about this? How do we relate to this world? How do we relate to a world where there's a church that seems to be so much in the first land in the parable of the sower, because they had an experience and they lost their ability to understand. The seed was taken away from them. Who took that seed away from them? You know. So what did happen? You know, these are the questions I have for my father. Now, what's happening now too? Like, why so much of this? You know. Where's the compassion? Where's the tender-heartedness? You know, you can throw two women that have brand new babies into the Colosseum, and what's the mindset of the person who's going to go and watch this? Is it the same mindset as the people we have today? Let's see, 2000. People overdose and be killed and no one has any tender-heartedness or compassion? Were these people from our province of British Columbia because they overdosed on hard drugs? What's the mindset? How is that mindset? You know, if you meet one of these people on the street from who lost their son or daughter or mother or father or cousin. You know, what do you say? Well, I'm not voting for them. Is that about it? You know, why would they, why would these people even want this? You know, is there no compassion in Canada? And they want to pass it here in our province too? Is there no tenderheartedness? Is it the same as was there for Perpetua and Felicitas, two girlfriends, two sisters in the early 20s, brand new mothers, you know, and Perpetua, her father was not a believer. And she had to deal with that too. You know, she was in prison. And her dad says, renounce, renounce, come back, you know, raise your child, raise your baby. You know, and I go, wow, those were powerful women, you know, where's the compassion there? You know, that was a natural effect. It's like going to the movies for them, but it's live. And here we have the same thing now. It's like going to nation against nation. It's Canada. Someone had to sell them that, and it's legal. You know, where's the compassion? Where's the tenderheartedness? Where's the compassion and tenderheartedness in the country my parents came from? They had lots of the concentration camps there. It was a natural for them. They knew what was going on. Don't tell me that, we're going to show you. And the Americans did show them when they went over there what they were up to. They already knew. Where's the compassion? Where's the tenderheartedness? Where's the Christianity? Even the basis of it, the very smallest thing. And they still have the same mistake today. Do we pick sides, or are we sincere with the kingdom of God? I'm not trying to, you know, we need some encouragement. You know, we need the Lord to do things with us. That's going to be fabulous. We need that 62 of Isaiah. We need to remind ourselves that, you know, I might have to read 1 John chapter 5 again, because that usually is a great encouragement for me to read that, you know, read about the love, read about what you're supposed to concentrate on. But, you know, reality is reality. And we were told of these times. I'm sure the people in the past were going, man, it's going to be bad in those days in the future. Why does the Lord, after he talks in Matthew 24, in 25, he speaks of two sets of people, you know, the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 virgins, 5 foolish, you know. Why does he speak of the parable of the 5 talents, 2 talents and 1 talent, and there's two sets of people? Why does he have a division of goats and sheep, and how do they react? And the sheep don't even know they're doing good, and the goats don't even know they're doing bad. You know? Oh, when did we see you this way, Lord? You got to answer both of them, you know? And then you got that old saying, Judas goat. So who are these people who are a corporate body now that are going to betray us? Like it says in 24. You know, 24 in those verses there, from 9 to 15. So, you know, there's quite a bit of stuff. And you just want the Lord to lead you and guide you. And is he going to leave you hanging dry? You know, is he going to leave you hanging there not knowing what to do? You know, like, I'm alone here, you know. I might as well be a little old lady. I don't know. But, oh, man, you know, like, the church is very old, yes, but it's something you're going to have to do, you with him. So get to know your Father. Get to know God the Father. He loves you so much. He sent his Son. You know, his Son had to be showing you how the cross works. You know, just think about it. You know, I don't know. I didn't watch that Passion of Jesus movie. But, you know, he had nails put. Like, I'm sure the guy sampled that wine with myrrh. Because you think you have a crappy job? Look what he has to do. Oh, honey, I had to do 10 people today with the big nails through their hands. So, you know, And it's nothing to him because that's his job. And it's his job, you know, and someone works in a Coliseum. I had to hack a person to death today, honey. What are we having for supper? You know? What is going now on? You know, what? Anyways, I hope people would relate to this. Not that I'm trying to scare you or anything, but. And then you're worried about what? Something real small and insignificant that, oh, I better overcome this, but look what's going on. And then I'm not trying to say you shouldn't worry about the small things because, you know, you don't want to go in the reverse here. You want to go forward. So. And there's just so much that has happened since the cross and the resurrection. And there were good people there too, you know. There were people being saved all through the 2,000 years. 2,000 or so years. So, we can't judge who's saved just by what happened in history, because we don't know who was there and what they did. But we know some more recent history, you know, in the last 500-700 years, you know. Anyway, I talk too much. But glory to God, praise God. Lord, help us, lead us, guide us, keep us. Oh, Lord, praise your holy name. Lord, make us holy as you promised. We need your holiness more and more every day so that we can manifest you. And we can shine for you, Father. There's a lot to that song that we taught the little children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Or we are gems here to say, serving the Lord every day. You know, and that's a righteous person, that gem. If you can serve the Lord as a gem, and it talks about jewels still in the Isaiah 62, so I don't know, maybe that was 61. Yeah, the two last verses are 61. Yeah. Anyway, well, we need help, Lord. Everything's a disaster around us, but you need help. I need help every day. You know you can't walk without them. So walk with them. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yeah, we used to sing that song as a children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I like that song. As a matter of fact, back in the 60s, that song was popular with the Smothers Brothers, the another group like that, and I forget. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Andrew. No, you didn't ride around too much. You was actually right on target. Thank you for that. I don't know that one either. Okay, anyone else? Let me look here just a minute. Oh, I was going to read this to you. We talked about this earlier, and I think it's a good thing about this first verse that we came up with tonight. And First John 4:2 about the discerning of spirits and doing what a lot of people do. And David's testimony about this guy that came in there that was full of demons, another one, one of the guys there with the butts wanted to test the spirits. And they asked him, did Jesus come in the flesh? And he said, yeah, this guy was full of demons. And they were going to test the spirit, see if he was demonized. And of course, David said, well, you could look at him and tell he was full of demons, you know. But they wanted to test the spirits anyway, so they tested the spirits and said, yeah, Jesus came in the flesh. How many of you know the devil will lie like a dog sometimes? But here's what's the part I want to get to. It won't take just a minute. He said, meanwhile, the guy would look around the room and they would ask him, whose mind can you read? Can you read that guy's mind? He said, yep, sure can. Can you read that guy's mind? He said, nope. And David said, there were people in there whose mind he couldn't read. Now, I'm not saying that reading minds has anything to do with the devil having authority over you. You give the devil authority over you. It has nothing to do with what the devil knows about you or whether he can read your mind or not, folks. But I tell you, that guy could not read the mind of anyone in there who was spirit-filled. Those people whom he pointed out in the crowd, he said, I can read that guy, were people who everybody knew were not filled with the Holy Spirit. But this guy didn't know anybody in the building. He knew nobody. He really was reading their minds. Now, here's what the Lord taught me. It has nothing to do with whether the devil can read your mind or not. You can talk in English. You can say anything you want to, folks. I'm telling you, it makes no difference what the devil knows. It makes a difference what you give him authority to do. That's the difference. If you disagree with God's word, you bring yourself under the curse. And if anybody adds to the word, God said he would add to that person the curses that are written in the book in Revelation 22. So we have to be very careful about the people that we get around when it comes to pulling demons out of people. How many of you know, just like we talked about earlier, that just a born-again Christian, just born again today, could go out and filled with the Holy Spirit, could go out there right now and cast out demons out of somebody? I can do that. That's what God gave us the ability to do. And when you read it and you see it, you got to do it, don't you? You can do it. If it's in the Word of God, you can do it. So that's basically the whole gist of the whole thing, is knowing what the Word of God says and the commands and the promises of God. When you know the promises and the commands of God, glory be to God. It's a miraculous walk that you walk. Or it can be. Or you can sit around and read. Know everything there is to know about the Bible and not do it and still not bear the fruit of Christ. All right, anyone else? Because part of walking in Christ is doing the things that Christ said to do. That's to set people free. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the gospel. Get it out there. Yeah, Joe.
You were talking quite a while back on a guy who says he's going to rapture and on his way he's going to make him holy. I just wonder what he's going to talk about, because Jesus only came to his son. In other words, you're going to be from a Christian, or what you call a Christian, to a son in that twinkling of an eye. That will be amazing to see him just from be a Christian to a son. So what are you going to talk about in heaven to Jesus? He's only come for his son. He only come for himself. He's saying he's seated himself. So in other words, what you're going to talk about. About just this one point. And another point is what Ben was talking about earlier on that washing of feet. Just interesting, after the washing of feet, is Judas is left to get this money and organizing peak and go against Jesus. But just after that, Jesus tells him, I gave you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. In other words, be a servant, be an obedient servant to one another. In other words, by that, you're going to show that you love me and you love the Father. So that's only two things I want to add. Thanks.
That's a good point. That is. All right. Anyone else? You know, I was amazed. I still am amazed about the guy. Back some time ago, some years ago, I'd read about people outside of China would put a page of the Bible in a balloon, helium balloon, and let it go on a windy day to get over to China and give the word of God out to the Chinese. And apparently this is what happened to this, I forget, it was somewhere over in Asia, that this one church only had one page of the Bible. And for 30 years, they kept getting new revelations out of that one page of the Bible. That's how deep the Word of God is. And what they would do, here's what they'd do. They all go to prayer. Pastor would pray. And the people around him would pray, Lord, give us some more revelations out of your Word. And the Lord would. He'd open up the Word to him, and he'd just peel that orange, keep peeling that orange on these one page of the Word of God. We have trouble with, you know, what we've got. We've got all of this knowledge there. All of this knowledge. 1,500 pages in some of these Bibles. And yet, this one church got new revelations every Sunday or every time they meet out of one page. Think of what we've got. It's a well that has no bottom to it. We'll be learning about the Word of God in heaven more and more. I remember, y'all remember the testimony of, what's the guy's name that went to heaven so many times? Hedren, what's his name?
Odin Hedrick.
Odin Hedrick.
Yeah, that's the guy. And he said he saw Paul up there still teaching the Word of God, still teaching the Word of God, loved to teach the Word of God. And he was finding new, I can imagine, you know, being up there. He said, Lord, what about this one here? What about this one here? And the Lord showing him. God, and he'd been up for how long? Long time. All right, anybody else? Okay, yeah, okay, that'd be okay, Ben. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share before we, or a prayer request before we close out tonight? Yeah, learning for eternity, the depth of God, Julie. All right. Bless you. Hey, Nick, what's up, dude? Good to see you, brother.
Just got off of work.
Oh, okay. Praise God, you got off. Thank you, Lord. They need to keep you captive all night long. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Praise the Lord, Daddy. Yeah, just, I got a prayer request.
All right.
I got a prayer report.
You got a how much?
My dad is home from the hospital.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. My dad's home from the hospital.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for healing for him very quickly. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
So I'll be quick. I just want to say to Andrew, I love his history lessons. That's nice to hear too. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah, he has some great teachings, and that's good. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. Michael, hit the right button now. Hit the right button. Y'all be blessed, you hear? We'll see y'all later. Glory to God.